Hi guys, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 95, where we're going to be covering Avatar The Last Airbender episodes 18, Sozin's Comet Part 1, The Phoenix King, and 19, Sozin's Comet Part 2, The Old Masters. Today I'm joined by Michal, Brittany, and Ariana. Say hi guys!
Yo.
Hello!
Hi!
Hell yeah, ladies! I like it when episodes are lady heavy. It's all fun.
To be fair, we only have one guy.
So. Yeah. So basically you're saying you like every episode without Mitch.
No. If you even listen to this when you're not on.
Mitch listens.
Oh, we love you, Mitch, I promise. Anyway, guys, if you ever want to get hold of us, our contact information is by email, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can get hold of us on Twitter at @RE_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on hyperball.com. Or you can get hold of us on our shiny new Tumblr account, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Yay, Tumblr! Yay. Who's running that?
That would be me, Brittany.
Yay!
We finally had someone send us an ask, and they got a Boomy gift because they did. So if you want one, you know, hit me up. I will reply.
Are you going to use a Boomy gift for every single ask someone sends?
Oh, absolutely.
Amazing.
I have a folder of Boomy gifts. So I think I've scoured the internet high and low for all the Boomy gifts I can possibly find. So I'm ready.
Brittany's
even when we move on, I'm going to still reply.
And that's a promise.
That is a promise.
I heard even that if there's, I'm not, oh, there's a Boomy in Korra, isn't there?
There is someone named Boomy in Korra.
Yeah, there's someone named Boomy.
That's exciting, Brittany. That means you can still do Boomy gifts in Korra.
Yeah.
He does have some pretty gifable moments.
Is it the actual Boomy? That would be great if he just like lives forever. He's like 300 years old.
No, given this person's name, we have a pretty good idea of when Boomy finally did us all a favor and croaked.
Hey!
I don't like him, okay? He's weird. Why is he still acting weird, like a 7-year-old? You're 112.
Okay. In the world.
Today we have to talk about, though, how great he is, because, well, I just, like, wrote an ode to him and his awesomeness, how he took down an entire city by himself. But,
yeah.
He's great.
So, let's move on to part one of the finale. So let's get started with chapter 18, Sozin's Comet Part 1, The Phoenix King. In this chapter, Katara's like, yes, I can finally take a break, because Zuko's totes the team dead now. He chases the Avatar around and lights him on fire, and nobody thinks this is suspicious at all. But then everything changes when Zuko learns Aang isn't planning to attack. He's bailing on the mission because, whatevs, it's more fun to have a beach day. So Zuko tells everyone about how his dad is going to destroy the entire Earth Kingdom so he can be the Phoenix King of Ash and Lord over the wastelands like Scar. And everyone is like, thanks, buddy. Once again, these are things that could have been brought to our attention yesterday. So Aang has a literal meltdown into the ocean and floats away. And then everyone wakes up and is like, oh my god, we have to find the Avatar again. But Zuko's like, no probs, guys. This is my jam. And he calls up his girl June with the perfect skin and the giant mole.
Have any of you seen, I know this is like the worst movie in creation, but Aladdin, the second one? Like with the Return of Jafar.
Yes.
Where they're on that island, like that's on top of a turtle's back. That's what I thought of when I saw the sea lion or turtle lion or whatever it's called.
I have no idea what that thing is supposed to be, but I feel like it's important, but like it's so confusing to me.
It is called
I was
a
confused
lion
too. Because like in that quiz that we all took where we were supposed to figure out what type of bender, they were like, which like lion turtle are you? And I'm like, oh, are these important? Like I'm glad I watched this episode before I took that quiz.
Spoiler alert. Oh, right. Let's see. So everyone in this episode is wearing their real clothes except for Katara, but does everyone like that she's still wearing her Fire Nation outfit, or would they prefer to see her back in her waterbending clothes?
I love the Fire Nation outfit on her.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny that she is the only one who's still in it for obvious reasons, because Zutara. But also, I mean, she knows it makes her look hot. She's like, she likes the attention she gets from all those bearing midriff harem pants.
She's like probably kind of hot on Ember Island, right?
Yeah.
So her water clothes are like furry. So they're probably cooler if she wears the firebending outfit.
She does change into that little, the white undergarment bit thing that she has, like the random thing that she wears sometimes whenever they actually wade out into water.
Can we talk about how much we actually know about their underwear? Because we know a weird amount about their underwear.
Yeah, these kids strip down far too often than is healthy.
No wonder everyone's in love with everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, these would be the kind of gatherings my parents would not want me to go to when I was younger. Like, oh, no, we're totally just going to go to the beach, but we're just going to wear underwear. They're so don't even worry about it.
Bad influences.
And bad decisions. Oh, so Zuko has firmly taken his place as team dad as of this episode. Did you kind of agree with his thing where he was going around going, guys, less playing around on the beach, more planning to, like, actually kill the Fire Lord? Because that's a thing we need to do.
Yeah, that's like what Sokka used to do, except now Sokka's girlfriend is there, so he's too busy with her to, like, get them back on track.
Thinking with his other head.
I was going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
I like Zuko as team dad because I am in the same headspace. I'm like, why aren't they doing anything? And when they found out that they were just like, you know what? We're actually just going to wait this out. I was like, why?
I was so mad.
Like, this timeline thing, as you all are well aware, has been bugging me since episode 2. So I was so frustrated that they were like, you know what? Actually, the reason we haven't talked about the timeline this whole series is because it's not going to matter now, because we're just going to wait. And I was like, no, okay. You can't wait.
But when Katara was trying to save all those people with cancer, like, then this timeline was super important. And this is what's really frustrating, because that episode is, like, the only episode where I was, like, really frustrated with Katara, because I felt like she wasn't looking at the whole picture. But now that they've taken, like, after that, they took, like, beach days, and, like, now they're just making sand castles and things like that. So that kind of makes me angry.
No, I agree. I personally find this, like, a very weak beginning to, like, I mean, obviously we'll all see how it works out, but, like, this is, you know, the grand beginning of this epic conclusion that's supposed to be, like, you know, we've been waiting for 3 books and it's all, you know, big and whatever, and then it's like, and then they start off with being like, oh yeah, we literally did not communicate about these really important things for no other reason than just story reasons, and it doesn't really make any sense to begin with, but it also completely takes the wind out of our sails and makes us kind of be like, well, you know what, maybe you guys deserve to have the stupid Ozai rule the world because you were just terrible at saving it.
I mean, from Zuko's point of view, I mean, he did say that, you know, he didn't know any different. He thought the plan was still to, you know, go and kick Ozai's ass. Like, nothing had changed that, so he didn't think, oh, well, it's not really going to change much if I tell them that he's kind of planning to wipe out the entire Earth Kingdom.
No, but they kind of need to have an idea of what... I mean, I blame everybody here. Like, yeah. Literally everybody. Zuko should have told them that, and they should have told Zuko, like, hey, by the way, it doesn't matter. We can train firebending longer because we're just forgetting about the whole, like, super-powered firebenders thing.
That's stupid, too. Why didn't they tell him, since he's, like, the one who has to time out how and when he's going to teach Aang things?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a thing that you'd want to tell someone who's included in, like, this massive grand plan. Like he's going to be fighting with them, you know, so it's kind of the thing, like, and he's teaching Aang, so it's kind of like, this is, like, vital information that Zuko needs to know. Because it's like, oh, well, that would change everything. And obviously, if they'd have said that, then Zuko would have been like, no, we can't do that. back on track because my dad is crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, and I also think Zuko didn't want to have... He knew that Aang was, like, struggling, so he's like, well, if he's going to go up against him, he doesn't need... And he's already going to be fighting him. He really doesn't need this extra information on his plate, which I guess was kind of smart. I mean, yes, he probably should have told them to begin with.
I feel like he should have told somebody, at least.
Maybe Katara, because then Katara would have been like, okay,
Sokka, you had three field trips. Three field trips.
Oh,
I see. I just don't like it because it's literally just story. Like, I can't, you know. And usually they are not this sloppy. Like, even all the times that they're like messing around and we're like, guys, but the timeline. Like, they usually like throw an explanation or two at it that I'm like, okay, they're kids or whatever. I can like cope with it on an episode by episode level. This there is no. I just can't excuse, you know, and for me it just like starts the finale off on like such a low note that they like have to climb out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't mean to be a total downer. I just like
No, it's not at all. But yeah, I mean, I guess we can kind of also see why a little bit they don't trust Zuko or why, like, I mean, when he comes out of nowhere and starts attacking Aang and they have like such a blasé kind of attitude towards it, like kind of, oh yeah, Zuko came in and destroyed all our sandcastles, but yeah, I guess he's attacking Aang as well. If on one hand they don't trust him enough to tell him the plan, but they do trust him enough kind of when he starts, you know, shooting fireballs at people, like how do you think that balances out? Do you think that doesn't make much sense either, or...
Well, do they really trust him, though? Because, like, Aang's like, what are you doing? Like, and just, like, playing, like, evasive maneuvers on him. So I don't know if they're trusting him entirely because they're confused as to what's going on. But Zuko's kind of, like, trying to explain it as he's attacking him. He's like, you have to fight me. Like, I don't understand why you're not fighting me.
Yeah.
And I think it was a smart move on Zuko's part.
Mm.
Because he does want them to not be too trusting. Because I feel like Ozai could play that card as well. You know what I mean? Like, get inside of Aang's head that easily, where Aang's just, like, performing all these evasive moves instead of, like, hearing him out or, like, understanding that, yes, I have to attack this guy.
Yeah, that's what happened with Azula. Like, they didn't really attack her, and she got away, and they messed up everything.
Now she's Fire Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. Actually, skipping forward just a tiny bit, did anyone laugh when Ozai was like, I'm the Phoenix Curse?
Yes.
Yes. I was like, is this supposed to be dramatic? Because you just kind of sound ridiculous.
It's like, of all the names you could have come up with for yourself, it's like, I'm the Phoenix King? Does that sound better than Fire Lord, I guess, maybe?
No, I think it sounded like more like before. Like, if we'd heard that, like, oh yeah, like, there was, like, once a Phoenix King or whatever, like, we might have been prepared, but this comes so out of nowhere that it's just, like...
Yeah, or even if there was, like, some myth in fire, like, history about, like, we had heard, like, oh, phoenixes are, like, yeah, I mean, we get the symbolism, but, like... If there had been some, like, underlying thing, like, oh, the Phoenix and blah, 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 it would have made a lot more sense, but it's just sort of like, I'm going to take this, like, thing because it looks kind of cool with the fire and the flags.
Yeah.
It's like, it's because he's crazy. He's, like, actually insane.
Like, I'm feeling a bit of a rebrand
here. His plan sucks. It's, like, the worst plan I've ever heard. I'm going to kill everybody on the planet, so there's nobody left, so I have to be king. That's, like, his plan. It's so stupid.
I just like imagining him sitting in his castle. I feel like we've started to get a bit of a bad rap. How about if we change it to a phoenix?
Everybody likes phoenixes.
You know, they're kind of cute. And they have all of these feathers. Yeah. I think the Phoenix is the way to go.
Plus, it still fits in with the color scheme, so, like, not a lot needs to change throughout the land. Like, they can still rock the reds.
Oh.
But what, okay, so he made Azula Fire Lord or whatever. But what does that even mean if Fire Nation is like the only nation?
Like, I think it's just sort of like a placeholder, like, you know what I mean? Like, or like a figurehead, sort of like the queen is like the, yeah, she's the queen. But like, what does that really mean? Does she really empower? Is the queen in power? I don't know. Danya, you help
yes,
me out.
Yes, the queen is in power. Interesting little thing. If
We're talking about like the British queen? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, for example, with British royalty, if the daughter of royalty is first in line for the crown and becomes queen, whoever marries her only can become prince regent. However, if the son of the royal family takes the throne and a female marries in, they can become queen.
Hmm.
Yeah. So either way, the woman gets a lot of power.
I really don't like that we call Azula like Fire Lord, and this maybe just be, this may just be really regressive and gendered of me, but I'm just like, but like Fire Lady would be the same thing as Fire Lord. It would just mean this, you know, it would mean the same thing. It would just sound better to me.
I hadn't even thought of that. To me, like, Fire Lord was like a title, like, yeah, president or something.
Yeah, for me, I kind of, one way or the other, like, I don't mind that it's called Fire Lord. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, it's a masculine title for a position of power, but it's kind of like, if male or female, you can take that position regardless, and there's not really any like expectations or anything stopping you from doing it. For me, it doesn't make that much of a difference whether it's Fire Lady or Fire Lord.
But then shouldn't, well, Fire like, Lord it be like King Elizabeth? Like,
but like Fire Lord sounds like Fire Lord. And Fire Lady sounds like, hey, it's that Fire Lady.
Fair enough. I just, yeah. I feel kind of bad for, I mean, I feel bad for Azula here for a few reasons, but it's just like, yes, all of your dreams are fulfilled, you're going to be Fire Lord. And by the way, now you're totally middle management. Like, it's yeah, not, you know.
It's so true, though. It's like, she's like, oh, but what's going to happen to you? And he's like, I am going to be supreme, I will be the Phoenix. And you're like, she's like, they're going, what does that even mean?
And he's like, basically, you just sit here and babysit the Fire Nation. I'm going to go rule the world over here. I felt so bad for her.
I know. They killed everybody.
So bad.
I know. I feel like, I know everyone talks about how, like, she's his favorite and stuff, but I don't know if I believe that. I don't think he has favorites. I don't think he's, like, capable.
No, Ozai is a sociopath. Like, I mean, he's a psychopath. There's no difference. But, like, yeah, he is a terrible parent and, like, worst father in the history of fathers, like, actually, yeah. Like, true fact right there.
Well, I mean, you think about it. His entire plan to rule the world is by wiping everyone out. Like, how does it even work? I don't understand how it works. Because,
and
like,
if she were to get in his way, he would totally get rid of her.
Yeah. I mean, he had no qualms getting rid of Zuko either. So, like, when he, when Zuko and, like, everyone, like, they talk about that earlier on when he's, like, talking about his mother and stuff, and it's like, yeah, he would have had no qualms about, like, killing either of his children. At all.
This is why I feel so bad for her, because she had, like, she had no parenting. She was never raised. No wonder she's so crazy. Nobody ever loved her. It's so sad.
But the important thing is that we humanize Ozai instead of Azula.
How is he humanized? He's terrible.
Well, I mean, like, with the whole, like, you know, he's terrible, but he was a baby once, and he's still a living person, and still a human person, but like with Azula, it's just like, nah, she's crazy, you know.
Don't get me started. I'm so mad.
What?
Azula, I just feel like, well, I feel a lot of things, but I feel like this show would have benefited a lot from a fourth season, as I've said, or maybe doing something in season 2 and 3. But I think that Azula she deserves a redemption arc, and I don't think at this point she's going to get one. And that makes me really angry.
I agree.
No comment.
They gave Zuko a redemption arc. His lasted 3 seasons.
Yes, but he's a boy. Girls don't get redemption arcs. Like, this doesn't happen.
No, they just get yelled at for being angry. You either have to be angry all the time or nice all the time. You can't be nice and sometimes angry.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to think now, like, if there's a female character who gets a redemption arc that I've read.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about as well.
I mean, I don't watch Once Upon a Time, but is there, like, I've heard things about somebody called Regina.
Don't even.
No, okay.
It's like, she gets redeemed, and then she ruins it, and then she gets redeemed, and then she ruins it, and then she gets, it's back and forth.
Okay.
We have to wait till the series finale to fully accept one way or the other, really.
Okay. I've watched Once Upon a Time up until, like, the last season. Was the last season the one with Peter Pan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it up until that point, and I was like, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore.
Yeah, I mean, she's mostly good now. Like, I will say that. She is really good. But, like, she's also, like, she would still rip your heart out if she thought it would get her somewhere, I think.
Mm. Okay. Were you guys disappointed that Toph didn't get, like, a proper field trip with Zuko?
I felt so bad for her because she's clearly, like, crushing on Zuko. And she was so excited. She's like,
I have to move on from Sokka.
And then she's, like, trying to talk, and he's like, listen, I don't really care about your childhood.
Okay, like, but he's on track. He's like, listen, we really have to, like, save the world right now, and we're missing the Avatar, so maybe this can wait.
I don't actually think she knows, like, what happens on field trips. Like, yeah, I guess, like, they all kind of talked about their problems with Zuko on field trips, but at the same time, I think she was, like, looking more for, like, I'm going to get this deep emotional connection right off the bat, and I have to get everything out in the open right away, because we're probably only going to look for Aang for, like, 3 hours when they all got, like, a day and a half with him.
But to give Toph the benefit of the doubt, that's kind of her experience in being, like, talky or touchy-feely with Fire Lord people, with Fire Nation people, because that's what happened with her and Iroh, right?
Iroh, yeah.
She was like, sat down, and he was like, so tell me all your problems, because he's Iroh.
And she was probably like, well, he learned from Iroh, and he's kind of like him, so I'll get right into it.
And everyone else has felt so much better after all these things. Whereas nobody gives like a crap demeanor that my parents tried to imprison me. I'm like, you know. These people have really messed up.
Right, let's move on to our favorite scenes for this episode. Michal, do you want to start us off?
Yes, my favorite scene was, I'm scrolling, just, you know, the end, like, as ridiculous as it is, and I think the first and other time that I watched this, I really did laugh out loud at the whole Phoenix King thing. But I do like, you know, just like, this is kind of the first time that we see, like, the father-daughter relationship between Ozai and Azula, and how unequal and messed up that is, you know, and how much stock Azula really puts into that. So I enjoyed that scene.
I feel like she's getting crazier. Like, I think you guys talked about a little bit about it last week, Brittany, how she seemed a little bit more, like, off the hinges last week, and this week too, like, when she was yelling at Ozai, and she's like, no, you can't treat me like Zuko! Like, I think she's losing it.
Hmm. I think because she's finally starting to realize that her dad, like, no matter what she does, it's not going to be enough, even though, like, they showed that war meeting, when she was like, I think we should, like, burn them all to the ground. And he was like, she's like, I have to be this extreme with him. And even though she's reached, like, there's no further she can push it. Like, she just suggested wiping out an entire nation, and he still does not care. She's like, what more do I have to do? Like, physically go there and do it myself, like, in front of him? Like, and that's what she wants to do. That's the step she's willing to take when she's, like, standing with him. And she's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Like, I got my bag packed. Sorry it took me so long.
Yeah. She won him the Earth Nation.
Yeah, like, she did. Yeah.
She could have made herself the Earth Queen.
No, it's true. And, I mean, that's got to be, you know, really scary in a way, because she does put so much stock in what Ozai, like, not only thinks, but, like, does, and how he treats people. And, you know, to think, you know, she's not like Zuko in terms of, like, I can instantly regain all, like, everything that I want through this one action, but she's kind of like, she trusts in her pattern of psychopathic behavior to keep her in her father's good graces, and she's kind of come to the top of that ladder with this, like, let's just kill everybody decision, and then it's like, it's still insufficient to have him trust her and, like, really have her by his side. And this is getting slightly Electra-ish here, but you know what I mean. Like, it's really, you know, it's sad that she can't. She goes as far as she possibly can, and it's still, like, she's not getting the response she wants.
Yeah.
Oh, so many Azula feelings.
All the Azula feelings.
Yeah.
The finale really is kind of about Azula. It's like, in a weird way, it's like the Azula story.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm looking forward to that then.
Ariana, your favorite scene?
When June showed up, that was so cool. I was not expecting to see her again, and obviously I'm obsessed with her, so I was happy.
Yes. And she's just as awesome as she was before.
Obviously.
Brittany, your favorite scene?
When Zuko is explaining to Aang that how he has to, like, manipulate lightning, and he's, like, doing, like, all the moves that Iroh taught him about, like, channeling it through your body, and then when he explains how it feels, oh, it's so hot, you guys. He needs to explain that to Katara, you know?
Yeah. My favorite scene was when everyone was having an awesome time at the beach, but then everything changes when Zuko attacks.
Oh, yeah, one thing I did want to say about, like, awesome times at the beach, like, Sokka and Suki will not stop touching each other. It's, like, a little bit, like...
It's because, okay, they just guys, had sex, McCall. I know so that, excited. But, like,
it's like, you don't have to do that here, though.
Like, I feel like someone just needs to play, like, I Just Had Sex by The Lonely Island to them, and then just, like present
that's
them
all
with
that's
cake.
On repeat in Sokka.
Yeah. Yeah. Just present them with a cake. Congrats on the sex.
Yeah.
Sokka's like, I've been waiting to listen to this song for so long.
Right, favorite lines. Mikal?
When Katara comes out and she's like, I have a surprise, and Toph goes, I knew it, you did have a secret thing with Haru. I was just like, I was like, I can't even, Toph, you are the queen of everything.
Yeah.
She senses it. I wonder if she senses the Zutara love, too.
Yeah. Especially since she wasn't even around, like, the first time when it was so, like, googly eyes, you know?
Ariana, your favorite
She
one?
Senses it with her feet.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell her. My favorite line is when Zuko was in full group dad mode, and he's like, get out of the bison's mouth, Sokka. Sokka
climbing. Does anyone like the scene where it, like, focuses on, like, everyone else talking in the foreground, and you just see, like, Sokka slipping out of Appa's mouth?
They're, like, having a serious discussion.
And he's just, like, spinning in, like, bison spin. Like, oh, Sokka. Brittany, your favorite line?
When Katara comes out of the water and Sokka's like, Zuko's gone crazy! I made a sand sculpture of Suki and he destroyed it! Oh, and he's attacking Aang. Like, he's so, like, concerned about his sculpture. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, like, Aang's on the run and, like, Zuko's really losing it.
Because you know what? Sokka really likes that song and he's a purist. He's not gonna play it unless he's had sex. So, like, everything he does is dependent on being able to listen to that song.
My favorite line was when Toph goes, "I am not Toph, I am Melon Lord." Every single time, Melon Lord is just a beautiful thing.
That's like Jesse Flowers' like famous line by now. It's really funny, which is so hilarious because Toph has so many funny lines. But when she's at conventions, all anybody asks her to do is, "I am Melon Lord."
Did anyone else find it really creepy after like Sokka splits like the melon in two, and then Momo comes over and just starts like eating it?
Yeah, especially since it had like a face on it and everything. Yeah.
Like, ugh.
And then I love that it was Sokka to do that, though.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, Zuko or anyone. It was just, like, Sokka just comes over and just, like, nonchalantly, like, chops it.
Sokka's a killer. Like,
it was really cool. Because he, like, normally, like, you know, it would just take, like, Zuko to have, like, a blast of fire. But to have the non-bender come over and just be, like, so ruthless, like, without an element, just, like, himself killing it was so good.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to chapter 19.
Yay!
So, Sozin's Comet Part 2, The Old Masters. In this chapter, everyone's back. The gang meets up with Badass June, and she's still like Zutara 5 ever. And with her giant rat, they find Uncle Iroh again, and all of the other old people who have been on this show, most of whom have sucked, except for Bumi, who fucking literally took down an entire city single-handedly during the eclipse, meanwhile, back at the farm, an entire army plus Avatar couldn't even defeat 14-year-old Azula. So Zuko's real nervous about seeing his uncle again, but then everything changes when Katara's like, "Don't sweat it. I know you feel you're locked out of heaven, but you're perfect just the way you are." So Zuko goes into the tent and he's like, "I'm sorry I messed up, but I joined the Avatar because I realized I was so much better when I was your man." And Iroh's like, "Don't sweat it, kid. I would catch a grenade for you. Also, I ship Zutara." Later, while drinking tea, all of the old men with extensive war experience decide that the children should continue doing all of the hard work. So Zuko's like, "Hey girl, do you want to help me take down my beautiful badass sister? We will be so young and wild and free." And Katara's like, "Yes, let's uptown funk out of here. And also, I think I want to marry." Meanwhile, Aang talks to the other avatars and realizes that they all messed up a lot, mostly because they were too horny to do their real job, except for Kyoshi, because she was a BAMF and didn't let her penis get in the way of saving the world.
I never knew Bruno Mars could have such an impact on Avatar.
And the thing is that I was actually watching that Uptown Funk video earlier, the one with the teacher from, like, it's like some tech high school thing, I don't know, and he, like, gets all of his classes together in, like, all different colors and makes them dance through the school. But, like, dude had some moves, but I was watching that earlier. I kind of have that song on the brain all the time right now. Much like the rest of the world, probably. But yes, right. So, let's talk about June being a badass. Ariana, do you want to lead us on this one, seeing as you love June?
I love her. I don't know what to say. I mean, walked in, and she's, like, beating up guys, and Toph is like, "She's my hero," and I'm like, "I know, Toph. She's mine, too." And then she's like, "Oh my gosh, Zutara!" I'm so excited you're here. And they're like, "No, we're not here. Flesh.
I do like that moment. I really love the moment where she's got the cup and like it goes up in the air and then she like takes everyone out and then just catches everything back in the cup again. Love that little moment. It's so, so cool. I think
I also really like that, you know, we all love Iroh to teeny little smelly pieces, but like she was like, "Your uncle was totally perving on me, BTW."
Yes, because we talked about that, how he was like being super creepy.
Yeah, super creepy. But yeah, everyone's back. All of those, like, masters that we saw all through the series, and they're all part of a super secret society of old people.
Can we talk about what the White Lotus actually is? Because I think I may have, like, just not heard what they were talking about. I was too, like, what is going on to understand? What is their point? What do they do?
I guess they kind of are, like, in the same way the Avatar is, like, the culmination of every single nation in one body, they're kind of there to transcend nations, as in uphold everything beyond that. So I guess in the background, they're kind of, like, trying to do their utmost to make plans to, like, I don't know, counteract what the Fire Nation is doing, maybe in
okay.
ways or different ways.
There's I mean, why United haven't they Nations done that in 100 people. Years? But, like, it's been 100 years, and they haven't really been very useful.
I mean, they've done, like, little bits where they were, like, kind of around in the background, where they were helping, like, Iroh and Zuko, like, when they went into, like, that potted plant bit, and Zuko's, like, considering up gardening, and they help them escape, that sort of thing. So it's not like, I mean, they're not like a massive society, I would imagine. I mean, we don't get to see a lot of them. We only get to see like a few people dotted around here and there, but I guess it's like doing small things to try and come together. I mean,
but they're like the most powerful people in the entire world, and like they're hiding behind plants. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Shouldn't they have been trying to find the Avatar? And then once they found the Avatar, shouldn't they have been trying to, like, help the Avatar? Or do something? I mean, Iroh's on their team, and he's, like, the brother of the Fire Lord. And they're just like, you know what? I really think this Fire Lord thing is just gonna, like, go away on its own. I don't think we have to really combat it.
Well, I don't have an answer to that, but I think, like, the White Lotus has actually been, like, they're not just the United Nations of Old People. They're like specifically, they're specifically around to help the Avatar. So with this whole like 100 years of the Avatar being missing, I don't know if they were like deliberately killed or if the Order just kind of like officially fell apart. But like, I think that's part of why they became like a secret society that they weren't, because they weren't like, you know, if they were actively supporting the Avatar, like, the Fire Nation would have been like, we're going to kill you right now.
But I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, go ahead,
Wouldn't
Brittany.
They know if, like, Bumi, like, because Bumi obviously met up with the Avatar. Iroh knew that the Avatar was there. I feel like they should have had some secret meeting in season one or so before Bumi got captured. I feel like it wasn't until now that Iroh was like, you know what, I think we should all kind of, like, get together and do something about this.
Yeah, like, they all met the Avatar. All of them did in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, yeah, go play with the children.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much more to say on that, because, I mean, that's who they are, that's what they do. I mean, it's the same as, like, making arguments about the little bits and pieces that don't quite make sense in the universe. It's like, yeah. I mean, they even then, when they're, like, all together, they kind of go, okay, so you guys carry on, and we're going to be, like, here, waiting for you. I mean,
yeah. I mean, if I were going to in-world, like, explain it, it's, I mean, and you sort of, like, this is sort of in keeping with the White Lotus, as we may or may not see them later, but they don't, like, they're a little bit useless functionally. Like, they don't take power for themselves. Like, so for example, like, overthrowing Ozai or whatever would be actively against their MO, you know, because it's, like, because that would have been something that they were doing themselves, you know. Whereas they, like, exist to help the Avatar, and for whatever reason, they were like, you know, we have to do that in secret now. But I'm not actually sure, like, I'm trying to think back to, like, the first time they really show up, like, because there are some hidden things about it, but I don't think, Zhang Zhao. Like, I don't think the show really introduced it until season two, until the whole man in the desert thing. Do you remember anything, Donya? I don't.
I'm trying to remember.
Like, I don't think the showrunners, like, were like, and this guy Zhang Zhang is a member of the White Lotus, like, way back when. You know? Like, Paku, I don't think, you know, I don't think they had it in mind for him to be, like, member of the White Lotus, you know.
I mean, we get the, you know, Iroh being like, I've lost my Paisho tile.
Right, that's true.
In season one. And they go, like, around looking for it, and then he's like, oh, it was in my sleeve the whole time. I mean, that was... And then Wenzuko's like, why is it so important? And then, obviously, as you see it, like, you see it pop up throughout the entirety of Avatar. Like, this little White Lotus tile, like, just pops up randomly all throughout. So, yeah, it's kind of there in the background. It's not always, like, completely obvious when it shows up. Like, they kind of keep it a little bit low-key. But it is there. I'm just trying to remember when else in season one it comes up. Because I'm pretty sure it does at another point as well. But I can't off the top of my head remember where.
I thought it was, like, anticlimactic. Like, you brought back all these people. I was really excited. And then they were kind of like, okay, well, we're here. We just want you to know we're here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're still not going to do anything, but...
Yeah.
I'm here.
You have our full moral support.
Yeah. And no female members.
I noticed that, too. It's like,
That's actually, yeah, never mind.
Is that a spoiler for Korra?
It's not a big spoiler, but yeah, let's just leave it at that.
Okay, so I'm guessing that Katara and Toph are definitely White Lotus members. Or they should be, because they're, like, the best benders in the whole world.
They're dead, Ariana. They're dead.
I thought only Aang is dead.
Who told you that?
No, that's what I'm assuming.
Oh, okay. Then you're gonna have a lot of fun watching the first episode of Korra.
Then why are they, if they're all dead, that would, like, suck. I guess then they'd have all these new people, but I don't care about new people.
You will care about new people.
Trust me. Korra's going to be a rough ride for, I think, a few of us for the first couple of episodes.
The first episode of Korra is damn rough. It is really, really rough.
Yeah. It's... Oh, my God.
And then there are things that you learn about, like, the gang of their lives after. And it's like, yep, they definitely went the realistic route. They did not go the, like, sunset route.
Yeah. That would suck if they, like, all hate each other now. That would be realistic. But then the finale can be, like, or it can be, like, them getting back together again. Like, what's that one movie where all the old people, like, fight evil?
Red?
Yes, it can be, like, Red.
Retired and extremely dangerous. Brittany, do you want to talk a little bit about how awesome Bumi was then?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
So I was having problems with the Twitter account when this happened because I was watching it and I really wanted to tweet about it. But luckily I got my Liz Lemon high-fiving a million angels gif when Bumi returned out before Twitter decided to, like, crap on my parade. But basically, that's how I felt when Bumi was, like, when he appeared, I was so excited. And then he had a couple of great lines. But there were no puns. I was really upset about it. Like, there weren't, it was just not what I expected. But it's okay, because he's a badass, and he took down an entire city by himself with his face. He bended with his face, guys. Like, it looked like he was going to sneeze, but he was just, like, bending the crap out of metal, and it was awesome. And he was just, like, looking at the sky, and he's like, oh, that's convenient.
Gosh, he's so great.
And he took down, like, that giant statue of the Fire Lord, and, Like, oh, so good. He really utilized the 8 minutes. And then yes. he goes to the gang and he's like, so what'd you guys do during the eclipse? And they're like,
nothing. Literally, yeah, we didn't really accomplish anything
because we're children. And you adults should be the ones helping us by bending with your face.
Exactly. Like, if Bumi had been there, Azula would not have tricked him. But he wasn't there because, I don't know, they're being White Lotus-y.
He was just hanging around.
Eating minerals. know?
Yeah.
A lot of this does remind me of, like, that line from Firefly where, like, Mal is captured and he's, like, fighting the guy who captured him. And whoever is like to Zoe, like, aren't you going to help him? And she's like, this is something the captain has to do by himself. And then he's like, no, it's not. And she's like, oh, and she pulls out her gun and shoots him. But like, they never get to the, oh. Like,
yeah.
You know, the kids are just like, we can't do this by ourselves. And the adults are like, go on, you're doing pretty well.
You haven't fucked up nearly as much as we thought you were going to. Right.
You've only gotten all the adults captured, so that's okay. And the rest of the kids, we don't really know what they're up to. We just left them.
Yeah.
Because one's in a wheelchair, and we can't have that on our minds.
Oh, my God.
That's so bad. Like, what is
that is that is
doing?
What happened, yeah.
It's literally awesome. What happened.
They're like, we don't want to think about the logistics of this, so we're just going to have you guys go somewhere.
And the other thing that came out of this White Lotus kind of reveal thing as well was that Paku has married Sokka and Katara's grand-grand.
I just like that you called him Water Tribe Guy.
So yeah. I didn't think he was that important to like show up again, but I guess now he's their grandpa, whatever. That makes sense.
Even though he's a single woman. Weird, didn't Gran-Gran like she run away from the Northern Water Tribe because she didn't want to marry
him? Yeah! She literally went halfway around the world to get away from him.
And he's like, but guys, I made her a new necklace, so don't even worry about it. He's like, I had all this time on my boat to get there, made a brand new necklace, everything's cool.
Yeah.
It was just the necklace. She just didn't like the necklace.
It literally solved all of the problems.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else actually happened? What else actually happened in this episode?
Zuko and Iroh reunited.
Yes, yes.
All the tears.
Tear bending.
When he just reaches out and hugs him, oh my gosh. It was too much for me to handle.
Zuko's just sitting there, like, waiting for him to sleep. It was a little creepy. Like, I would hate to wake up to that. But,
Katara wouldn't.
I would not what Zuko does.
To him sitting there staring at me, I'd be like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, this is the only thing about Twilight I'd give into is you watching me sleep, Zuko.
Yeah.
But that is, like, his thing. He did that with Katara, too, so that makes sense.
Yeah. I watched the scene in work and just... Yeah, I was crying, and everyone was just like, Donnie, are you okay? And I'm just like, it's just a stupid cartoon with so many feelings. So many. Yeah. Yeah. It's just every single time it gets me, this little... When they come back together, just, my heart. The other thing that happened, Aang got advice from all of his, like, all of the notable past avatars, obviously not all of his past lives, because there have been a lot more than the four that spoke to him.
But it was the last four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the last four in the cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's to give, like, one of each element. Yeah. Good balance.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite from all of the advice he was given?
I thought they, like, pretty much gave him all the same advice, I felt like. I mean, yeah, like... Ariana lists here, like, they all kind of gave a different thing, but basically in the end they're all like, you really gotta kill this guy, like, I'm sorry, but you gotta do it.
I think the water guys definitely sucked the most, because this was just a story about how he was a terrible avatar.
Yeah,
guys, like, this is the lazy attention. Avatar.
He's like,
this
never
is the origin of the lazy avatar.
Yeah. He's like, dude, I just wanted to go surfing.
Go with the flow.
Yeah. But
I think Pierre was my favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he was, I think he gave the best advice knowing where Aang comes from. He was like, look, I know you don't want to because the monks told...
She.
Oh, Air was she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought Earth was the only one. Okay. Well, that's cool. I like Air even more now. Even though I wasn't paying attention, obviously. Because she was talking about how she was like, you have to stop doing, you can't just do what your nation told you how to act. You have to do what the whole world needs you to do. So, like, not, you can't just be loyal to one nation. You have to be loyal to the world, which I thought was really cool since he's the Avatar.
Yeah. Do you know what I've just noticed? And I'm probably being like an idiot, and I've just realized again, is that it goes, not only does it go like cycle through the elements, it also goes female, male, female, male. But then it goes...
Oh, that's cool, because then there's Korra, huh?
But, it kind of breaks off with Aang, because it kind of goes female,
oh, male,
female, male, male, female.
Oh.
Well, it's not like a set pattern, like it's, you know, like the water avatar is not always a girl, you know, like it's...
Yeah, but it was kind of cool to see that, you know, it's an equal, it's an equal spread between male and female avatars.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense, though, that it would double up on the male because it needs to go, like, Air was a woman and now it's a male. And then it's Korra. And then Earth, it must have been a male before her. And then Fire,
it had
to be an awesome female Fire avatar. God, I want to hang out with her.
Yes. Oh, I want to see it. Oh. Fire Avatar would be so good.
All right, I'm just going to write a book about a female Fire Avatar like from the past.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Be so awesome. Why no more Avatar? Why? I guess the other thing, let's see. Oh, Ayana, do you want to talk about Zutara?
Yeah, obviously, because now they're going to go take down Azula, and it's going to be magical, or they'll do what I really want them to do, which is to save her, because her dad is crazy, but they probably won't do that.
We talked about this on Twitter a little bit, being like, they're going to go there, and then Zuko's going to be like, I feel like Zuko is going to save Katara, because Azula's going to be like, haha, you love her, and I'm going to attack her, and then he's going to jump in front of her, but then Azula's going to be like... something's going to happen to Azula, and then Zuko's going to be like, we have to save her, and then she's going to be good, and then she's going to help them take down Ozai.
I can't wait for you guys to see this. That
would be perfect. That would be the best thing ever. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay, this is what kind of bothers me.
Could you please film yourselves watching this part? Seriously, I wanted you to do it for Ember Island players, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really good stuff in the finale.
Yeah. I second that. Can you film yourself watching?
I'll do it. I have no problem doing it.
Even just the Zuko Katara versus Azula fight.
Yeah.
Film it. I will. You know what? I will do it. I'll film it and then I'll like copy. I'll like edit it down to just the good parts.
Oh my god. This is going to be the best thing.
I don't know when I'll do it, but maybe sometime this week.
Yes.
My hair is a mess today.
Gotta be good. Gotta be.
I'm gonna put on like a lot of like you know eye makeup. That way, like if I cry, it looks even more dramatic.
Like if this is going on YouTube, it's gonna have production values.
Better follow us on Tumblr, guys.
Yeah, we're gonna make GIFs out of it.
Yep.
Oh gosh.
And then call Ariana and, like, have her responses on the other end. Like, I know!
That would be great. Ariana, you need to do this as well.
Maybe. We'll see. Because I have to stop and, like, write down stuff whenever I'm watching it, so...
Oh, don't do that for the finale. Just let yourself enjoy it.
Yeah. Wait, isn't Mitch doing the next doc?
Yeah, probably.
There we go. You have an excuse. And you can always rewatch the episode to make notes. It's fine. So, favorite scene.
I have a question, that I don't really want answered. But, like, I feel like it's been pretty, like, settled. Although, Dead Suki was pretty settled before she turned out to be not dead. But it, like, it seemed like there was a consensus that Zutara is, like, definitely totally crack ship fanon, not canon at all. But that makes me kind of upset because I feel like that they're, like, it definitely could be canon. And so, like, this episode and previous ones have definitely, like, pushed it. And so that makes me kind of angry that they're toying with my emotions like this. And
I agree because, I mean, I love Caitlyn to death, but she's always like, well, I agree with canon. And I'm like, but I feel like this is, like, all of our arguments are totally on point. Like, we could make a justification that this could be canon, like you're saying. And it's annoying that it's that's the counter argument is that, well, it's not canon, so stop making it. But I feel like it is a little bit.
I think we should talk about this next time because there is stuff to say about it and the way, like, the fandom and the creators have kind of dealt with it. I think there's what to talk about, but I think saying anything now would be, jumping the gun a wee bit.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, I mean, they still have another field trip to go to, Brittany, right. So there might
That's
be more
true.
Stuff.
We still got them to be just like, when Sister he was like, Katara. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, table this discussion for the next episode, like the next rewatchable episode.
Yeah, because I don't even feel like Katara made the most sense logically to go with him out of everybody. Like, because she's water. Water and lightning is like the worst combination ever. So.
You're right, actually. Probably. Yeah. Probably
I feel like Toph would have been better.
Yeah, Toph is like she can bend like anything in the whole world.
Yeah, and why are they taking her to the airship? This makes no sense.
There's literally nothing for her to bend there.
Oh my god!
She has to bring rocks with her.
5 years after this airs, I'm realizing how stupid that was.
It's because Zutara is real, and the creators know it.
Yeah, and then also, like, if they wanted the most emotional, I feel like they're doing the finale to get the most emotional punch from everybody, right? So, if Zutara is not real in any sense, then the biggest emotional punch would be, like, to have the siblings together, right? But they're not doing that. They're putting Taka together and Zutara together, and even though it makes no sense logically.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we only have 2 episodes left. It's just hitting me.
I know.
Then we'll know everything. Not really everything, because there's another series.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. I don't want to finish it.
Are you guys going to read the comics?
I want to so badly,
yeah,
because
we can read
that
it without
like a top
watching Korra, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The comics take place after Avatar.
And before Korra.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. So. No, I want to read those comics.
It's like Avatar 2.5. Kind of.
Lion
Are
King
they
1.5?
Like Lion King 1.5?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they still going on, or are they like over the comics?
No, they're still ongoing.
Yeah.
How cool.
They've been.
So it's like another series.
This is actually,
does Aang grow up at all because he's still a baby?
Yes, he gets taller.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like weird. Like, there are a few things where it's like, oh my god, you got big. Like,
not in that way. They're not those kind of comics.
Someone had to say it.
Well, given certain discussions that happen in certain comics, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any, do you have any, like, questions that you want answered in the last hour?
I want to see, I want to know if Azula is going to be redeemed. No, that's not going to happen, but I'm hoping.
I want Ozai to die. I know it's not a question.
I want to see Aang kill him.
Yeah.
Violently.
I want Aang to, like, just deliver a final, like, but it has to be, like, fire. Like, it can't be, like, air. He has to kill him with fire.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to kill him. This is a children's show, and he's, like, 10 years old.
But they had that, like, really
he might die
discussion.
If he, like, but it'll probably be something stupid, like he falls off a cliff, and it wasn't really Aang's fault, like it was with, what's her name? The Earth Girl.
Kiyoshi.
Kiyoshi.
Yeah.
No.
Because they don't want to make Aang a murderer.
And on that note, let's move on to favorite scenes. Michal, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was Zuko and Iroh's reunion, because very sad. And even though it was the crappy voice guy, it was still very emotional. I was like,
you know, talk as little as possible, though,
please. But you did or you didn't?
I did.
Yeah. I'm, like, very sensitive to that. Like, I can tell when it's the wrong voice. And I mean, no offense to the guy. I call him crappy, but, like, you know, whatever. He's trying to do someone else's voice. But, like, I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. He breathes so much, and it's just like, hello, Zuko, is it me you're looking for?
Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
Every single Zutara scene, which was like the entire episode, basically. So, but I especially loved when, like, Zuko was feeling really down, and Katara came, and she was, like, his emotional support. That was really sweet.
Yeah. Brittany, your favorite scene?
Ariana correctly filled it in, saying Bumi's triumphant return.
Wasn't Ariana.
Oh, I did. Yeah, that wasn't me.
Yep. Nope, that was it.
But yeah.
Was that you, Danya?
It was me. Yeah, I did that.
Oh, it was you. I just assumed since I got in here late that it was Ariana. But all right, yeah.
Yeah. We just know you so well, Brittany.
We do. We do. And I think all of our followers on Twitter do, too, because they kind of know that I tweet from the account a lot, and they're all like, just wait. I'm like, okay. They're like, someone's coming back. And I'm like, don't spoil it.
Yeah. My favorite scene was just Bumi's escape. Which wasn't an escape, was making everyone else escape. It was beautiful. Absolutely loved that entire thing. So great. And favorite lines, Michal?
Okay, so this is a long one, but I do think this is one of the deepest moments of the finale. It's when Aang is talking to Yang Chen, who's the previous Air Avatar. And she says, Avatar Aang, I know that you're a gentle spirit and the monks have taught you well, but this isn't about you. This is about the world. Many great and wise... Oh, and then Aang's like, but I'm like the best air nomad ever. And she's like, many great and wise air nomads have detached themselves and achieved spiritual enlightenment, but the Avatar can never do it because your sole duty is to the world. Here is my wisdom for you. Selfless duty calls you to sacrifice your own spiritual needs and do whatever it takes to protect the world. And I just think that's really, like... deep and sad, and it's like, Aang, like, you know, because if you think about Aang's wants, like, I guess Katara is number one on that list, but, like, number two is being, like, the best air nomad ever, and he's in an interesting position where, like, I think a lot of stories would have had him be, like, rebellious or whatever, or, like, you know, not good at the meditating thing, but he's like, a duck to water on this stuff, and now, like, Yang Chen is telling him, like, but you can't do that to the fullness of your desires and your abilities because of your duty as the Avatar.
Yeah. Ariana, your favorite line?
Well, that was really beautiful, McCall.
Yeah.
mines are significantly less beautiful. But I really loved it when June was like, I see you work things out with your girlfriend. Because I love it. She shook Zutara. but I also want to give a shout out to Katara's answer when he's like, hey girl, come with me, and she's like, it would be my pleasure. So
yes.
Oh god, I wish she'd said honor. That would have been so much better.
Oh my gosh, that would have been so great.
Oh my god, they missed out on a perfect opportunity to use honor. Brittany, your favorite line?
Mine was when Bumi's looking over the group and he's like, wait, someone's missing from your group. Someone very important. Where's Momo? And then he's like, he goes on like later and he's just like, well, as long as they have each other, it's fine. Like, as long as Momo's missing with Aang, everything's cool.
Yeah. My favorite line is when Zuko is like, Uncle, you're the only person other than the Avatar who can possibly defeat the Father Lord. And then when everyone's like, I think you mean Fire Lord, and he's like, I totally said Fire Lord. Oh, Zuko. So that's it for everything there before we get into a little bit of listener feedback. But if you'd like to leave us, well, any kind of feedback to read out on the finale episode, then you can do it in a couple of different ways. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can get hold of us on Twitter at @RE_watchable. You can leave us a comment on this post on hyperball.com when the episode goes up. You can send us an ask on Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Or if you're feeling incredibly generous, you can leave us an iTunes review. And this week, if you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will ride a giant eel hound for you, which sounds really, really dodgy, but... Oh, dear. Right, so, listener feedback. We have got a couple of Twitter comments. Just a few. Yeah.
We you guys a lot. I actually cut it down by a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Twitter's been blowing up. I love it.
Yeah, it's great, though. So, Bridget, who's at Climbing Closer, says, in the ep, The Old Masters, when Zuko and Iroh are reunited, I cry every time. It's one of my favorite scenes on the show.
Oh.
Us too. Amanda, who's Heyo Amanda, by the way, I started rewatching Atla today for Rewatchable. So excited to get back into this show. I forgot how much I adore Zuko. Oh.
You and me both, girl.
Yeah. And Joe Ludwigson says, because when fire and water get together, things get steamy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that one's specifically for Ariana.
I think it was in response to something Brittany tweeted out.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, really? It was like one of my links where I ranted on and on, one of my Hypel articles, I think.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if none of you have read Ariana's like crack ship letter from Zuko to Katara,
oh my God.
I highly recommend checking it out because
it's spoiler free.
It's spoiler free, and it was probably ripped directly from Zuko's diary.
I could hear it in Zuko's voice.
I know, so it was so good.
We should get Dante Bosco to read it.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Someone make that their mission.
We should have a hashtag like Dante Reed Zuko or something.
Yeah.
I bet he would come on our podcast, don't you guys think?
He seems like a really cool guy. I mean, I haven't like met him or anything, but
I'm so sure that
I'm putting it on my to-do list.
Yeah. So we have a couple of hyperbole comments. There's one from Luke who says, I'm just gonna say it. Katara's field trip was by far the most interesting. Finally, not only hope and stuff like that, just pure depth. It is the man that killed her mother. Thank goodness she just went slightly crazy because of that. Then for the finale, just thinking about it makes me realize how much is still going to happen. So much growth in characters, funny scenes, resolved plot points, just awesome.
Thank you, Luke. Yeah, I do think she should go crazy at the guy who murdered her father, who murdered her mother.
I do too, and... Like, granted, like, the Boiling Rock was interesting, but I thought that this had a lot of more character elements to it, which was cool.
The Boiling Rock was fun, and I guess there was a lot of character development at the end. Yeah.
The Boiling Rock was really only good because of May. Let's settle that.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
She's the only important part of that.
Yeah.
And
that's Rough Buddy.
Oh, that line. I still love that line so much.
It's just funny because I remember, like, waiting for that episode, and I don't know what dramatic stuff I thought was going to happen, but, like, being really excited for it, and then it being kind of this, like, oh, fun prison break thing, you know, and, like okay, you know. But then my girl did her thing at the end, so, yeah. Sorry, listen to last week's Rewatchable for people who probably disagree with me. Yeah. 2 weeks ago.
I'm very pro Katara bloodbending. I'd just like to say that, but like we said, other people have different opinions.
And
I just don't see how you could judge someone in that situation. You know, like it's not like my place to be like, no, Katara, don't do that. You know, like she's suffered it at this person's hands, like terribly. So
she watched this guy like kill her mother because it's her fault. Mm-hmm. Like basically,
well, it's not her mom fault.
I mean, it's not her fault, but she feels like it's her fault because her mom was protecting her.
Yeah.
She's a child. Nothing is her fault. She's like five.
So our final comment is from Rosalie David, who says, I'm so excited for the finale. It's been so much fun rewatching the show with you guys. Can't wait to hear the newbies' thoughts on the finale or predictions about Korra. Korra predictions would be good to make you guys
do. I feel like you've been spoiled for Korra.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think been spoiled we should make on the shipping. Week.
But I know nothing about the plot. I just know the shipping, how it ends. So and the shipping's been so fun in this, so I'm kind of sad about that, but whatever. You know, I can still ship Zuko and Katara.
You can still ship plenty, actually, in Korra.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's funny because I think this will be the first... I mean, we're not doing Korra right away, but when we do it, it'll be the first show that will have been on while we were recording Rewatchable, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
The thing with the shipping with Korra is that it's very much about, like, the journey rather than the destination with it, because it's it's so, so good. So good. Like, the way it gets to where it gets to is just, like, fantastic.
Yeah, and honestly, I think knowing some of that will give you a little more appreciation for
what it does.
Yeah, it's like, it's not important that it's, I mean, it would be great if it's a surprise, but like, if it's not, then it's, you know, you have just as much benefit in a different way, so.
Yeah. And that's that for the first part of the Avatar finale. So thanks guys for listening, and I guess until next time.
I know. It's been like, what, 7 months or something? Oh my god.
Something like that.
I think we started like right after Comic-Con or something.
Yeah, I think we probably did. It was very, very close after that.
Yeah. But yeah. Are they making us watch the movie? Because I'm not doing that.
We're
not making anyone do anything, but I think we are doing a wrap-up episode after the finale.
There was very, very vague talk, and I know that I volunteered myself to rewatch the movie. So if they need someone to host that a little bit, then yes, I will rewatch it. But
I'm going to watch it for the first time.
Don't do it.
I'm going to watch it for the first time after having watched Avatar. So that'll be interesting.
Please live tweet that, Ariana. Please live tweet that.
Yes.
Maybe I'll record myself watching this one. It would be fun. Or to do like a Google Hangout. That would be fun.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that would be
fun. Enjoy. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting myself through that.
Oh, right. So that's it, guys. So, yeah. Tune back in next week for the finale, so the last two parts of Avatar as we know it. So, I'm Danya.
I'm Michal.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.